Blog Talk Radio.
You wanna be real. You wanna be empty inside. You wanna be someone. Laying down your pride. You wanna be someone someday. Lay it all down before the king. Oh yeah. You wanna be whole. You wanna have purpose inside. You wanna have virtue. And purify your mind. You wanna be set free today. Lay it all down before the king. This is my desire. This is my return. This is my desire to be used by you. Wanna be real. You wanna be emptied inside. And I know my heart is to feel you near. And I know my life is to do your will. Is to do your will. This is my desire.
To the Healing Lot Show. This is Reverend Stan, and we're going to be talking to Tammy Sutherland, talking to her about her Charleston, South Carolina outreach, about the unity and all the unique stuff that she saw there while she was there ministering. And I'd like to say hey to Chris and to Chuck, and how are you guys doing today?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. How's it going, Chuck?
Man, it's going good, dude. I'm excited about this show. I think it's going it's needed in this day and time. This is going to be awesome.
It's going to be awesome. How you doing, Tammy?
I'm doing great. Excited to be here. Can't wait to share with you guys.
Yes, we're happy to get to hear what happened down there. We hear a lot of stories, but we want to hear right up front what really happened, and it's going to be a unique show. But, I'm going to go ahead and start off with this. And now, Tammy, what really pushed you to go up there? The television thing about this, or was it just the Lord really pushed you to go up there?
Oh, it was the Holy Ghost. Yeah, it was the Lord. He really did As a matter of fact, my husband and I were up that Wednesday night when they started to release what had happened in Charleston, and just beginning even that moment, started feeling just a burning in my spirit. Started seeing the hashtag Pray for Charleston on social media, and just really got stirred in my spirit that we needed to do more than start publishing hashtags on Facebook, and that we needed to get boots to the ground, and somebody needed to be over there, up there showing support, you know, from the upstate and other areas of South Carolina. And the next morning I was just in time of prayer, seeking the Lord over, you know, just really torn over everything that had happened. And I heard the Lord say, who will go? Speaking to me, you know, as he did in Isaiah 6 to Isaiah. And, you know, I was just really praying through that and everything, and just heard the Lord say again, who will go? And I said, I'll go, Lord, you know. And the Lord, you know, he kind of said to me this, and I think this is a really good point to make, because I know a lot of people are like, well, you know, there's a lot of people there, you know, who am I to go? But the Lord said this to me. He asked me why. He said, why will you go? And I kind of pondered on that for a second, you know, kind of thinking, trying to think of the right way to answer that question. And the Lord, you know, he asked me, he said, will you go for me or will you go for you? And I sat there for a minute and I got a revelation, and I said, both, Lord. I said, both. And he said, yes, now go. And he began to stir me to start mobilizing. And I knew that he wanted us to have a tent. So at that point, actually had Amanda Anderson, one of the ones that leads worship with us for Fire on the Altar, she texted me within about 2 minutes and said, what do you think about going to Charleston?
Amen.
And yeah, and so God started, he started putting some things together. And within, I'd say, 15 minutes, you know, we were ready to go. We had location, we had a tent ready to go, and God was moving it, and he was making a way, just bringing just solid confirmation that this was a mandate, that it was time for us to put boots to the ground and go hit the streets in Charleston and not just pray from our homes, but get in there and touch the people, put our hands on the people, and just release the power of God.
Amen. That's awesome. It's awesome how you got the tent so quick, and the Lord, and the biggest thing really touched me was when you saying that how the Lord asked you, are you going for me or are you going for you?
Yeah.
And that is the biggest thing nowadays. A lot of people, you know, you really think that they're out there working for the Lord, but really they're looking for their popularity and stuff. But God don't care about your popularity. He cares about his mission and what you want to do for him. And I think that's really tremendous there, that he asked you that. And, you know, that was a real deal when he asked you that. And, you know, that, you know, you're like, hey, I'm here for you. I'm not here for me or all the people that likes me. I'm here for you to touch your people. And that's awesome there.
Yeah. And you know, the thing about it is it was not just for him, though. He was bringing me a revelation that he's called and appointed us. And a lot of people will hold back. I think people watch. They watch media and they watch things like this going down, and they see crowds of people, especially, you know, sometimes Christians, they see crowds of people and they think, well, you know, God doesn't need me, or he doesn't need me to go. You know, there's people already there ministering. And God was also bringing that revelation, too, that it was very, very important that I walk in obedience to this, too. It was for him, but also because he was telling me to go, you know, it was and a call of obedience as well. Because each one of us are called and chosen. Each one of us have a facet of God, an anointing, a gifting that he wants to use. And if we hold back, it's almost false humility. If we hold back for false humility because if we don't know our identity in him, we're actually, you know, fulfillment of that word that the fields are white with harvest, but the laborers are few. And we become one of those, you know, the ones that are holding back and cause the laborers to be few. So I think it was a double-sided coin there when he asked me that question.
Amen, amen. Another thing I'd like to ask you, when you first got there, what was the mood there? What did you feel in the air when you got there? You stepped out of your car, first time you stepped out of your car, and you were just checking out the environment and really seeing what you were stepping into. What did you experience at that time?
Let me back up just a minute before I answer that. We got the tent so quickly because there is a when we were coming together, we were gonna do a 12-hour prayer and worship there in Charleston when we were gonna do one movement last year. So I'd made a lot of contacts with the prayer, just the prayer movement community there in Charleston. So God brought that back full circle. They had already had a tent up. They had this tent up since Easter, I believe it was. And they've been meeting under this tent, having prayer, having meetings. Actually had a, it was almost like a shelter for the homeless there during the day. So the tent was already up. These guys had already been praying. They were already, just kind of looking, and just trying to discern what God wanted to do. So when I made that contact, he was like, you know what? We've already got the tent. We've already got everything set up. You guys come on. So when we got there, the tent was already set up. We pulled up, and the tent was situated on the intersection of Meeting Street and Lee Street, which is about a mile away from the church where the shooting happened. And there were probably about 10 homeless under the tent, just taking shelter under the tent when we got there. So we just immediately began to just pray and discern what God wanted us to do. And we really, really felt like that tent was going to be a place of refuge. We really just sensed that God wanted it. It was just very prophetic, that it was on the corner of Meeting Street and Lee Street, God wanted it to be a tent of meeting, a place of refuge. So the very first thing we did before we approached the tent was really just to seek God on how he wanted us to handle the situation. The first thing he told us to do was to feed the people under the tent. So we went, before we actually went and got food for them, we went and just started building relationship with them and talking to them and kind of finding out their heart. They're homeless, but finding their heart on what had happened, just their reaction on what had happened. And you could just feel such an, you could feel a openness. You could feel a receptivity in the air. You could feel a desire, almost like a cry, an outcry, for just the healing balm to come and rush in. And so before we ever went and got food, we began to just kind of dig in there and see how the Lord wanted to feed these people spiritually and how he wanted to just pour into these wounds. And then we did. I mean, we went and got food and fed them physically, but this was totally a setup from the Lord because he was building receptivity. He was building rapport with the people that we were immediately coming into contact with. Trust, and a picture of authenticity of who we were and whenever we first got there. So, there's definitely a major presence of desire of authentic revival brewing. You could feel it in the air.
Amen. I know I was at my aunt's and they had Fox News talking about this situation, and I could feel just the presence of God coming out of the TV, that God was touching that place. And I remember when I first heard about this, I just went ahead and jumped into prayer. I felt an urgency like everybody did. I went to my kitchen. I was praying to the Lord because I knew what the enemy was trying to do. I could just see it. The South is real bad with the racial tension. It's real bad down here. It's worse down here than anywhere. And I knew what he was trying to do, what type of fire he was trying to set. And I just saw myself at the throne of God, and I was like, Lord, I said, we know what he's trying to do. Counteract this now. Lord, send some people in here. I mean, just counteract this. And all of a sudden, I saw the Lord at work. I saw you sitting there saying you were going to a tent meeting down there and all that. I was like, thank you, Jesus. And it's pretty awesome how he got everybody to work right off. And I know he did this before we did. So, but it's awesome how God counteracted this. And you can sit back if you saw all the things. I mean, if you sit back and watch the news and just what is going on in the United States right now, how the enemy is smacking these different towns and trying to mess with us. And, you know, it's really, I feel it's really for us prayer warriors to really go down and actually go down there like you did. Go down there and pray for these people, help them out. And, everybody can sit down and on their butts and watch TV and get on their Facebook, but it takes another inch of a matter to actually get in your car and drive down there and help.
That's right. That's right.
That's the biggest thing. He wants foot soldiers, not just, I mean,
exactly.
He wants prayer warriors, but he wants a lot of foot soldiers, and that's awesome what you're doing there. Now, when did you first start your ministering down there? Was it that night, or?
We went on Friday. We got there at 10:30 in the morning on Friday, and like I said, we first thing we did was just kind of started ministering to the homeless community, because that's who was there when we got there. So we started there, and I'm telling you what, a lot of times the homeless community is overlooked as though they're not impacted by the things that are taking place. And the homeless community was very much impacted by that situation. I believe that it was really God just opening our hearts to a place of compassion and a place of just love, just his desire to release love in the streets when we first got there. So after, you know, we spent some time with the homeless there and just ministering and praying and you know, just actually just filling their fleshly needs even at that moment, we went and we met with the guy who kind of got us the contact for the tent. His name is Matthew Pridgen, and we went to his house and spent some time with him and his family and talked with them about their heart for Charleston, and just kind of really began to just touch the heart, I guess, of the prayer community there and connect hearts with them. Got a lot of, you know, we prayed together, got some insight, and then we went back to the tent and we just, you know, felt, we began to lead some worship, but we also felt the Lord wanted us to move outside of that tent and get on the street. So we just, we worshiped and we prayed under the tent for a little while, but then we just went on up and we hit the streets and we began to just grab people's hands and lay hands on people and pray with people. A friend of mine, her name is Chanda Court, she was already up there at the church, and she called me and she said, "Tammy, y'all got to come up here." She was like, "People are hitting their knees in the streets." She's like, they're so receptive to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit right now. And even in that phone call, she put the phone down, and I could hear her crying out, you know, just in prayer with this lady. And she picks back the phone, and she was like, "Tammy, we were just in the Holiday Inn Express lobby." She said, "We were in the Holiday Inn Express lobby crying out, praying in this inn, and it was a black lady, and she's white, and just we're locked arms together right here in the lobby, and people just started coming and praying with them." So, of course, you know, after talking to her, we started heading that way, and it was almost like I felt like in my spirit that the spiritual atmosphere was like when Jesus began to go from one place to the other, that he would press through the crowds and he would stop along the way, ministering to people along the way. That's almost what we felt like we were doing. We would stop and we would minister. We were just praying as we walked down the road, and we were being attentive to the Holy Spirit. And it seemed that God was having me personally approach the people that looked like they were struggling the hardest with anger. And those were the ones he would have me just grab and, you know, say, you know, like, "Can we just pray together? Can we pray about this? And, you know, can we ask the Lord to break down the walls of racial tension and racial division? Can we ask the Lord for change? Can we ask the Lord for unity in our state? Can we ask the Lord for that together?" And people would just say, you know, they were so receptive, and they would say yes. And we just see God move. We would see the power of the Holy Spirit moving right there in the streets.
Amen. Amen. Now, Chuck, you have anything you'd like to ask her?
Oh, dude, this may take a while. I know her throat's hurting, but I got so much burning in my spirit, man. A lot of people don't know it about me, but I did a lot of work down in Charleston because I don't live far from there, about 2 hours. And my father owned a construction company, so I worked in the Charleston area for about 11 years. And if you get downtown into Charleston where Tammy's talking about being at, It's two different worlds down there. I know from the outside looking in, you see what's called Rainbow Road. That's all the colonial houses and the, you know, the nice ritzy houses and the rich people. And that's out on what's called the Battery, where the first shot of the Civil War was fired. Okay, the Civil War. We talked about this last weekend. And you can literally cross one street downtown, and it's like going into a third world country. And that's where Tammy's talking about being set up at. It's not beautiful. The houses are run down. I mean, it literally looks like a third world country. It's slums. It's mm-hmm. a lot of gang activity. Tons yeah. of homeless people down there. So where she's talking about setting up, I want to draw a picture for the people who are listening who don't know Charleston. I mean, it is literally a visible line you can see from one street to the other, the rich and the high, and then the lowest of the low, if that makes any mm-hmm. sense at all. It, mm-hmm. it's very visible down there. It's not like you're kind of wondering what's going on. You can see it. And what people don't know about Tammy, or some people may not know, is her ministry is called Frontline Ministries. So when God spoke to her about boots on the ground, her heart was already in a place to be an offensive force that God had already set up to go into this place. It is amazing to me that this got set up in 15 or 20 minutes. Now, yeah. I know most people, they'll say, well, that's the Lord, and I totally get that. Amen, 100%. But me and Tammy know a guy called Mike Thornton who sets up tents all the time, but he'll only do one or two events a year because it is such a tedious task to make all the parts come together in a moment. Like, he's going to be in Wilmington. He's been working on that thing for 2 months. He's going to be in Wilmington in September. And just the stuff that has to get in motion, for that to happen in 15 minutes can only be God. Man can take no credit for that stuff. And what got me thinking about that was, Reverend Stan, you had said something about God counteracting the strike that Satan did. God's not reactionary. God is sovereign. He was counteracting it in December when Tammy was talking to these people about setting up a tent. I mean, he so saw it coming, and he's so sovereign, and he had already started working against what was going to happen with those people being in the tent on Meeting Street, doing whatever it is they were doing in Charleston before the horrific thing ever took place. So it's really a testimony to Tammy and her ministry, how we have to be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit that it catches us by surprise, but it does not catch God by surprise at all.
That's right.
So just to hear that, just a few testimonies she said about the tent being set up, the person already texting her saying, let's go to Charleston, all those things are just God working through us, and that's what he wants to do. And I'm excited to get into some testimonies, but I'm just burning, man. It was on Meeting Street. There's so much prophetic stuff going on around this thing. I know prophetic sensors are going off all over the world who's listening to this. It's crazy how God set everything up, and he was ready to go. And I really wanted to draw a picture about how Charleston is set up. It's not the cool, you know, Southern Belle where she was set up. It could have cost her life. Literally. That is gang central down there. The Bloods and the Crips and all kind of gangs run down there, and the homeless being there. And I know she's going to get into some testimonies and probably cry, and that's what I'm excited to get into. So, Tammy, I don't really have a question. Just feel at liberty to maybe describe some of that around you that you saw, maybe some of the gang activity, some of the stuff going on. And some encounters you saw up under the tent that will make us all cry and go crazy?
I will. I'm going to get back to the tent. But I do want to say this. You hit on something, Chuck. My husband almost didn't let me go. Because before, as soon as, I released that video, and it got like man, I don't know, it's probably got like close to 9,000 hits on it before I even got out of Greenwood, South Carolina. But I had some death threats. And this was, it was some ugly stuff that was being sent to me via Facebook, you know, about me being a white woman coming down there. And, you know, it was some very, very hateful things, very, very hateful things to me, angled at me, angled at my family, but also angled at the white community in general. And it was from some of that gang area, I'm pretty sure. But the thing about it is the enemy was trying to bring fear where God was about to bring one of the most amazing moves of unity through this white Southern woman. That I personally at least have never seen before, and it's really a picture of revival, and it's a picture of awakening that's taking place, you know, in a way that we can't fathom with our reasoning of our mind. When God does a thing, he does a thing to rock our world, and he uses the most unlikely people to do that. So, you know, before I even left, it got dangerous. So once I got down there, you know, we met Thursday night before we left and prayed and you know, kind of did some really just, preparation type warfare in the spirit before we left. But when I got there, you're right, Doug, man, we could see, you know, there's a bridge overpass. You could see people all gathering under the bridge. You could see it was a very, very, very dark area that we were in. And we were not. It wasn't like we were received with open arms when we walked. It was just me and another white girl, I mean, when we walked under the tent for the first time. But I felt the presence of God. There was such a burning fire in me that I knew that nothing could stand because the love of God was about to explode. The love of God was about to be released. And there was a theme that God was using me when I would touch someone or when I would look at someone. If you can just understand the fire and the power and the passion of God exploding through the vessel of God, that's what I was experiencing. So when I would have come up to someone who looked like they wanted to hurt me, that fear, and that's what it is. When someone is reacting that way towards you, they're actually acting in fear. They're not acting in their own. It's a demonic presence. So that demonic presence could not stand in the presence of love. It could not stand. It had no ability to stand in the presence of love. And that's almost why the Lord had me literally beelining for the very people that looked like they wanted to hurt me. And I believe that was my mission there. I believe that was the reason that I was there, was to release that in disarming, powerful fiery passion of God. And before I get back to the tent, I want to say that because the Lord had us walk this path a mile all the way up, and we went up to the church, and then we went to a corporate vigil that was televised for a little bit, and then we turned around. But I believe God had us like just releasing that fire all the way up and down the street before we got back to the tent that night.
Amen.
Do you want me to go ahead and go into some of that now?
Go through it.
Okay.
This is where
I want you to see this first before we get back to the tent. We went up to the corporate prayer meeting, which was good. It was more political based. You know, what you're seeing on TV, it's really good. It's a really good picture of unity. But you're not seeing the Holy Ghost. You're not seeing the Holy Ghost outpouring that's taking place in the streets. And I wanted to share this particular story because I think this particular story is really powerful. We had the sound system that was going to be at the tent at 7 p.m., the corporate thing that happened in the College of Charleston started at 6. So, you know, this was our journey up the street, praying for people. We got to the College of Charleston. We went in there. They gave each one of us a rose. I don't know the particular reason why they gave everybody a rose, because we left before the thing was over with, because we had to get back down to the tent. So I took my rose. We came out, back out of the College of Charleston, walked down the street. There's a guy, black guy, I was approaching on the street, and he had on a T-shirt. It said, "Hands up, don't shoot." And, you know, the guy looked like he was angry. You know, he looked like he was really, really just dealing with some emotion over this. So I walked up to this guy, just totally pumped by the Holy Spirit, handed him the rose, gave him my rose, and the guy embraces me, hugs me, and you could literally feel the power of God. He begins to weep. He begins to cry. And it was an embrace, like it was almost an uncomfortable point because he didn't want to let me go. And it was at that moment, you know, of course, I began to weep also. And at that moment, I think something happened in me. You know, I just began to get rocked with just an outcry on the inside of me for unity, for souls, even for souls in the streets. And we walked on, before we went back to the tent, we walked on over to the church where they'd set up. There was TV cameras everywhere all around the church. So we went over to the church. There was another black family standing there, and the father, you know, of the family, he had on a T-shirt, and it had, like, handwritten, like he'd written it in marker on his shirt, "Do you believe us now? Change is needed." And like I said, I think God was just having me approach the ones that looked like they were angry, because most people were not. A lot of people were not angry, but those were the ones that I think the Lord was having me encounter. So I walked up to him and I grabbed his hands and I said, "Can we pray for change?" So it was about, you know, five in his family and about five of us, and we gathered in a circle right in front of the AME church where the shooting happened, and we began to literally pray in the Spirit, cry out together, breaking down strongholds, breaking down just racism and disunity and pain and hate and before you knew it, everybody was weeping. Before you knew it, people were crying. And God was shaking and God was shifting things. I believe there was deliverance that took place in that street. Right there in front of the church, you could almost feel like the way the wind was blowing that change. It was blowing that shift, and he was releasing his fire right there in front of that church with this family. And, you know, before we walked away, you know, we hugged and we held each other, and God was really just encountering individuals up to this point. So we head back down the street, about a mile walk. We get back to the tent. Of course, we're praying for people all the way down the street. We get back to the tent, and we just begin to be who we are. And if you ever come to a fire on the altar, if you ever come to anything that we do, we hold nothing back in worship. We will just release just the very atmosphere of heaven whenever we're worshiping, and we'll pray and we'll prophesy, and we're totally led by the Spirit. This is not, we don't do church. We totally are led by the Spirit in everything that we do. And that's what we were doing. We were just worshiping our hearts out. And one of the guys that his sister was killed at the church, he had actually left the corporate meeting and was just walking down the streets, and he stopped under the tent. And we had an opportunity to pray for him. We had an opportunity to lay hands on him and just love on him and release that authentic love. And I really do think he really encountered the power of the Spirit. God gave me a prophetic word for him, and you know, he really got ministered to. And then later on, you know, I'm trying to, because there's so many stories, I could be here all day telling you stories. Really want you to get the gist of what was taking place. But at one point, the power of God started moving, and people were leaving the corporate meeting, and they were pulling. We were at a red light, and it was where we were set up, was right at a red light. They were coming out of Charleston, leaving that corporate meeting, and they were pulling their cars over, and they were getting out to come worship with us. Which I didn't have a clue. I didn't really understand. I didn't know all this because I was so caught up in the Spirit. You know, and Chuck knows how I am. I didn't have a clue the reality of what God was doing here. But these people were pulling over, and they were combing under the tent to worship with us. And you could see, like, you could see the glory of God. They were rolling down their windows at the red light and just, like, bottlenecking the red light. Because I believe that the power and the presence of God was hitting those cars as they were coming by. And so they pull over, and they would come under the tent. And at one point, you know, the worship was just at a height, and God began to speak. And I began got up on the mic, and I released this word because I began to hear the voices of those that have that were killed. I began to hear the blood of the martyrs crying out, because the reality of this is, this was not a racism thing. This was a righteousness versus evil thing. And these people that were killed were literally martyred. And I began to hear their voices say, it was worth it. I began to hear them say it was worth it. And I got up on the mic and I just began to trumpet this message that they're crying out now where they are in the presence of God, saying it was worth it. Our blood that was shed was worth it. And I began to release this word that out of this bloodshed, it's like unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it cannot bear fruit, that out of this will be released one of the most powerful revivals that America has ever seen before. And that God was going to raise up 1,000 mighty messengers in their places in these last days. And I just, you know, as I released that word, I began to pray. And you could just feel just the bottom fall out. People began to weep. People began to cry. I believe there was even deliverance of just that tension, that hurt, that pain, that mourning, even mourning, was turned to joy in that moment. Because people began to realize what was taking place out of this, out of the ashes. And I stepped away, and this one lady, black lady that was there that had stopped and pulled over, she just embraced me. She began to cry. I prayed for her probably for a good little while. And whenever I released her, God began to remind me of a word that went forth when we were on a prayer call about 2 weeks ago, and the word that my buddy Darian Somerville had released was, this is before the shooting, this is before anything happened. Darian has had this whole thing on his heart for a while, you know, just the issue of racism and the issue of what's been going on in America in this area, and he's put boots to the ground before. But he released his word. He said that the white leaders, there would come a point when the white leaders would get on their knees and begin to wash the feet of the black leaders, and this movement of unity would come forth, and that the black Christian brothers and sisters would rise up with basically holding nothing back and just run with this message in the last days that God had given them. So God reminds me of this word, and after I just embraced this lady and I let her go, God said, now is the time. And I looked at her and I said, do you trust me? And she kind of looked at me like, oh, no, you know, what's she going to do? So I go over to Amanda Anderson, who's, you know, one of the ones that travel with us, one of my good friends, and, you know, I asked her, I said, do you have water? Do you have water? Do you have bowls? Do you have some way that we can wash feet? And so they immediately start going to gather bowls. And so what we did was we set up an area at the front, and I called for, you know, homeless, it didn't matter, but the African-American brothers and sisters that were under the tent, would they come forth and allow us to wash their feet? And that's what we did. We did the word. We did the word that was released. We began to wash their feet. We prayed for them. At that point, we began to see hearts just totally turn towards the Lord. We washed the homeless feet. We washed, you know, those who were dressed and nice and, you know, had just left the major corporate meeting. We washed the feet of our African-American brothers and sisters with no regard to any status at all, but just minister to them. And it was one of the most powerful things that I have ever been a part of in my life. There was so much joy and so much weeping and so much freedom and so much glory being released in that moment. And it made headway. It made it literally made an open heaven for what would take place the rest of the night. The homeless continued to gather under the tent. They continued to come the rest of the night. They would, and you talk about, Chuck, you talk about gang members, that we had guys that were standing just on the outskirts of the tent. They wouldn't come under it with their arms folded, but they stood on the outskirts of the tent, and they just hung around. There were people across the street that were just hanging around on the streets just so that they could be a part of hearing what was going taking place underneath that tent. The manifest presence of God was just resounding all around us.
Amen. Amen. What we're going to do right quick, we're going to take a small break, and we'll be right back with Tammy Sutherland.
Every single word I say, you know it before I speak, you know every thought, the deepest part of me. Tennessee.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Reverend Stan. We're back with Tammy Sutherland talking about her Charleston, South Carolina outreach. And she's going to be getting in more details with some things that she experienced. And Chris Crutchfield, he's going to be asking her a few questions. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Tammy.
Hey.
It's amazing work that you're doing for the Lord. Look, what I'm curious of is what part touched your heart the most in doing this for the Lord?
What touched my heart the most? I'll tell you this. I want to tell you this story. There was this one particular guy. He was totally, and you know, and this may not be absolutely applicable to the shooting, but it is. But he was homeless, and the guys that we were, you know, let us use the tent that we came together with, minister to the homeless on a regular basis there in Charleston. And they said they'd been trying to minister to this guy for 7 years, totally just struggling, you know, I really believe with demonic issues, out of his mind, can't really focus. He stayed under the tent the majority of the time that we were there. And we washed his feet. He spent about 2 hours on the ground with my friend Matthew Pridgen spent about 2 hours on the ground with him. And they do this a lot. They try and try and try to get to him, try to minister to him. The guy's terrified of Satan. So would not totally resisting Jesus because of his terror of Satan. And so anyway, Matthew just has incredible patience, just spending about 2 hours on the ground holding him and in prayer with him, trying to minister to him. And Matthew calls me over, and he said he finally gave his heart to Jesus. He wants to be baptized. And I move very powerfully in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. It's just what God moved, the way God moves through me. So as soon as Matthew said that, I said, oh, he's about to get baptized, all right. And I put my hand on his back, and I began to pray in the Spirit. And I came around and put my hand on his head, and immediately the guy gets hit with the power of God. And his whole body starts to shake, and he starts to weep. And he's just weeping, and he's weeping, and he couldn't stand up. So we were praying for him, and he fell down, and then we picked him back up, and we kept praying for him. And there's just like this mighty deliverance that's taking place in him. And, I mean, we did this. We prayed for him, and just God just encountered him over and over and over and over and over again. And he's weeping, and he's laughing, and he's just experiencing the joy of the Lord. And that particular situation probably rocked my world more than anything else, because we literally watched this guy go from darkness to light. We watched him go from demon-possessed insanity to the light coming on in his eyes and joy being released into his soul. He stayed with us until 3 o'clock in the morning under the tent. After that, and Chuck knows me, that this is kind of the way I flow, but after that, just the fire of God was on me. So I just started going laying hands on all the homeless people and just praying for them to be just baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire, and they were receptive. And so many people received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this is probably after we've been ministering, you know, to them for hours. I mean, probably 4 or 5 hours at this point. And then all of a sudden we had this mass harvest starting to take place. This is what it was. It's just like a mass harvest started to take place under the tent. And it wasn't just someone, saying a sinner's prayer. It was literally watching them be transformed from darkness into light and empowered to walk out the walk. It was healing. It was physical healing, emotional, spiritual deliverance, everything taking place all at one time. And I tell you what, I was dirty, I was sweaty, I was nasty, but I was in the glory zone. And I will never be the same again because of having the opportunity to minister to what the world would call the lowest of the low and watching them be transformed, the least of these, literally going from darkness into the light. We found out later on, just after talking to the people, that normally the homeless do not stay under the tent like that. They normally scatter when they start to have meetings, prayer meetings under the tent. The homeless usually go, but they were being drawn to. They were coming for. So if anything, I think that was what impacted me more than anything, was watching the people that the harvest come forth. All in that moment, the harvest started coming forth.
Man, that's incredible. That's something that you can't take away from them. You know, it's like,
yeah,
people are touched with the Holy Spirit and they've been filled with the Holy Spirit and they've been empowered. That's you're having effects throughout their lifetime from that point on. You know, and
yes.
And I like to see the contagious anointing drawing people in. It's contagious, man. You get a little bit of the Lord and the sauce of the Lord, and it's like heaven on earth. It's like some of the best stuff that you can get. That's amazing. That's really
absolutely
touching. He's probably going to touch people through and affect people for eternity. And man,
yeah,
these kind of stories are just amazing. Do you want to talk about some more of the testimonies? That is incredible.
Absolutely. You know, he was one, and I'm telling you, it's like it's a ripple effect is what happens, you know. And I know you guys know that, but I want the listeners that are listening to understand that when the power of God moves, it is a ripple effect. It is contagious. And people, because the Word of God says that we can't even come unless the Spirit of God draws. What is happening? It is almost like a magnetic drawing. It is like a super electromagnet that just gets switched on. When the power of God gets switched on like that, when we are yielded willing vessels, it is a magnetic drawing. And I believe with all of my heart that's why we are in a place of the last day's harvest. It's heartbreaking that the blood had to be shed the way that it did in order for this type of revival to be released in South Carolina, but did not the blood of Jesus have to be shed so that the authentic relationship, intimacy with him could be released in our life as a whole? It's just a sowing and a reaping that's taken place. So even in that instance, from that moment, we had other situations taking place. There was another guy under the tent. He was suicidal. We had several suicidal people come and just start to talk about that desire to take their own life. There was a spirit of death really just hovering in the area, and hopelessness hovering in the area. And I spent some time talking to this guy, and you know, he just didn't even understand how he could ever even receive, you know, Jesus. His troubles were just too great. And there was this moment when I was sitting there with him, and he was looking down, and he was cussing. I mean, he was cursing God. He was cursing, you know, whatever, and the, you know, the love of God doesn't respond to that in any negative way. The love of God absolutely responds with love, with someone who's struggling, and that's the way that he was using me in that moment. And he was looking away, he was cursing God, and he said, you know, I don't know where Jesus, where, you know, where's Jesus anyway, you know, the whole thing. And then I told him this, because I could feel the fire of God burning through my eyes. I said, look at me. And the guy locks eyes with me. I said, you're looking at Jesus. I said, Jesus is here now. He's with us. He's with you now. This is an encounter with Jesus. I said, because that's why he sent me. And the guy starts to weep. He starts to cry. And he just encountered the very presence of God, the presence of Jesus. And, you know, I just began to just come against the spirit of suicide and just the hopelessness, and just began to just, you know, proclaim over him, let hope in. I want to tell you something. People who don't know the Lord are so much more receptive to the power of God than those of us that have been in a church building. because they are being encountered. They're longing and they're receiving because there's something that they've been longing for that they really don't care how it's packaged because they're in that place that they are rock bottom. They are hurting and they want whatever's going to fix them at that moment. And so there's a receptivity there. So, you know, after that, I got up on the mic, you know, after praying with him and he walks off, I got up on the mic and I started just breaking that spirit of death and that spirit of suicide off of the city, off of the people. And the guy, you know, at that point he hadn't received Christ or anything. He'd just been encountered, you know, he just encountered Christ is what he did. And I watched him from where I was standing, I watched him turn around in the street and come back. And watched him, and he hung around the rest of the night. And see, things like that were happening. Just Jesus was absolutely just encountering people, face-to-face encountering people as we allowed him to literally possess us is what we were doing. We were allowing the Holy Spirit, allowing the Spirit of Jesus to possess us under that tent. And people were encountering him. They were encountering him, and they were drawn to him. In that, I don't think we can even really begin to understand the magnitude of what he was doing in those situations. I believe it's so much more than maybe a healing or a deliverance or a salvation. I believe it was all of the above. I believe that there was healing, physical healing, there was spiritual healing, there was emotional healing, there was demonic activity that had to flee. I believe with all of my heart there was a literal fire of God taking place right there in the midst of all the tragedy.
That's awesome. It's like a deliverance was going on with the people in the crowd, and God was actually bringing his soldiers in and just destroying what the enemy has been trying to do in there. He was just fighting it with his love and the people that he actually, you know, planted that seed of hate and bitterness, that he was actually ripping that out and instilling his love inside their hearts, and they were starting to understand the Lord. Because there's a lot of people, you know, these days, they all see religion as, you know, as just religion, as just a church building. We go and hang out and sing a few songs and that's it. They don't understand that Jesus is real, the Holy Spirit is real, and he does love us and does really want to touch us. And when an event like this happens, they see what Jesus really is. He's really there with us. He's actually, you know, with us all the time. We just don't recognize it. And, you know, with a super empowered event like this where we're only working on the power of God. We're only working on the Spirit of Christ. And that's the only thing that we're dependent on. We ain't dependent on what type of sermon we got to preach or how many people we got to make happy. We're letting Jesus do it through us. We go without a idea plan. We go up there without script. It's all him.
Yes.
And then they get to see what it's all about, because there's a lot of people that went through ministry schools, and ministry schools is not nothing wrong with them. But there's some, they get you put into a point where you got to have a script, you got to have a plan, you got to have this, you got to have that, and they don't really get to see the real Jesus. But as the word says, you know, stand up and I will fill your mouth. He don't say stand up and I'll tell you something to write. He said, I will fill your mouth. So when you're standing up for Christ, he's going to use you as a vessel. He's going to speak through your mouth just like the disciples did when they stood in front of the Pharisees. These guys was fishermen. They had no idea what to say to these guys, but the Holy Spirit filled their mouth and made them sound like Einsteins.
Absolutely.
And that's the same thing he was doing with y'all. Y'all had no clue. You just know that God was wanting to use you, and people was needing help. And when you showed up, he filled y'all's mouth and did what he needed to do through y'all.
Absolutely.
And that's the thing. We've got to be open. Go ahead, Tammy. I'm getting touched here.
Go ahead. Yeah, I mean, that's exactly the point. That's right. I get kind of aggravated sometimes because a lot of times God has me just keep preaching this message of identity and knowing who we are in Christ, But it's so important that we know that we are a temple of the living God. It's so important that we understand that when he chose to create man, Adam and Eve, he created him in his image and in his likeness, and he gave him dominion. It's important for us to understand that what Jesus restored to us was intimacy with him and intimacy with the Father and the power of God for dominion on the earth. It's so important for us to know who we are, because that's the whole point. That's the whole purpose in our existence, is to release him into the earth, to go in and release the power of God into the earth. God could have done it himself, but he chose to use you and I. He chose to use us. So it's so important that when we hear a word from the Lord, that we don't get in the Gideon mentality and say, you know, who am I? That we begin to realize it's not about me anyway, it's about him. And if I don't go, he's going to raise up somebody else that me and my household will perish, in the words of Esther, you know, Mordecai to Esther. We are living in that hour right now. We're going to see more persecution. We're going to see more bloodshed. We've got to put boots to the ground. We've got to know that he's called us to go. And it's not about our education. It's not about any of that. It's about literally putting our foot down on the ground in the water and knowing he's going to fill us, because it's not about us anyway. It's all about him. It's all about releasing his heart into the earth. And he just so chose to do it through weak vessels like you and I.
Amen. I was just feeling that the urgency that the Lord was crying out for the body of Christ to stand up now. And people just don't understand it. They have no idea what he's expecting out of us. And a lot of us feel fear to go and stand up what we need to. But, I mean, like you was talking about how you felt fearless. I don't think you really talked about this out in the open yet, but you was talking about how you felt fearless when you walked up to these people. And I felt the same thing when I was in Florida, and I was actually praying for people at the bus stop, homeless people, and I had people falling behind me. I didn't know what they were going to do to me while my back was turned. But I had fearless touch of God, and he was protecting me the whole way. And a lot of people was like, well, how about those people in church? You know, why didn't he protect them? And that's a big question right there, because the Lord was letting things play out. And he came back and made what was bad, he made it good by his outpouring across the South. Across the South. Not just one little town, instead of some little racist thing. He poured out his spirit across the South. That's a lot. That was a lot that just came out of those people there. And he touched African-Americans, white people, Hispanics. He touched them all through them that fell right there. He touched a lot through. That's why, I mean, I don't like to see anybody pass at all. None of us do. But sometimes, you know, there's things that happen. And right now those people is in the face of God. They're right there right there with God now, and they're enjoying his presence and his love that they would not experience down here.
Yeah.
They're experiencing that up right now. They're in glory right now.
Yeah. And I just want to say this, because I think it's such a hard concept, you know, for us to understand mentally, but it's in our spirit where we get the temporariness of death in Christ. In Christ, you know, he took the very sting of death. He took death for us. So death is nothing more than a momentary separation. I think it's very important for the bride of Christ in the last days to be fearless. And even if, you know, I said I felt fearless, I totally felt fearless, but I didn't just feel fearless because I knew that nothing bad was going to happen to me, but I knew that if something did happen to me, that it would be okay. It's okay. It's okay. I don't love my life so much that I'm not willing to die for Christ. I'm willing to shed my own blood for Christ because I know, number one, that it's temporary, and number two, if that's what it takes to bring a mind-blowing, sweeping revival across the earth for Jesus, I'm willing to die for it. I'm willing to die for him in the same way that he was willing to die for me. So the fearlessness is not just que sera, everything's going to be okay. That's where we've got to get at the church, at the body, that it's not about everything always being okay. It's bigger than that. There's something greater than that. It's not God's heart that these people would have to shed their blood. But what he does is take an ugly thing that the enemy does, and he turns it around in the enemy's face and says, now, don't you wish you would have never messed with my people?
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. Because, you know, we ain't bodies. We're children of God. We're spirits of God. We're parts of God. And once you get off of that concept that you're a body, that you're a person, that you're wearing these clothes, you're in this fine house, you're in that, that's what I'm all about. And once you get rid of that, you understand that you're the body of God. You're a part of God there. And, you know, you're more than your body. And once
right.
you release that and figure that out, it doesn't bother you anymore, because you ain't this. You really ain't this. This is just an instrument that you're in right now for this part that God has you down here for. And once you get that concept, you'll be like, well, you know, it's just a car. We're walking around in our car, which is our body, and that's all it is. And you know, then what Christ did for you, there's nothing that can mess that up. And once you understand that, you just get this concept, and it don't bother you. And then when the Lord comes behind you and just backs you, it's like you're indestructible. I mean, they're all through history, you know, the saints, you know, the disciples, all of them, you know, they did some outlandish things that nobody in their time would do because they were scared, but they did that anyway. They stood up for the Lord and did some mighty things for him. And that's what seems like you did too, Tammy, and thanks for doing that for the body of Christ. That's awesome. And it's always great to have you on here.
Amen. It's my joy. It's my joy. It's the reward, you know, that the Lamb would receive the reward of his suffering. And that's you and I, you know, and it's such a blessing. It's such a reward. It's so beyond anything we can experience, you know, earthly, fleshly pleasures to give ourselves as a living sacrifice to him. It's indescribable, you know. That's why I say my life will never be the same again, you know, after being in Charleston in the dirt and in the trenches. My life will never be the same again. I'm so blessed for that. You know, he blesses me with his presence, with his glory, you know.
That's awesome. If you'd like to, would you like to pray for anybody that's really not accepted Christ or just tuned into this?
Absolutely, absolutely. Just let me pray for you guys, the listeners out there. You know, I just want to pray for you right now. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, first of all, Lord, I just thank you, Jesus, that you shed your blood for a greater purpose than we can just get-out-of-hell-free card. I thank you that you shed your blood for the purpose that sin could be removed, that our error could be removed so that we could be divinely connected to your heart, heart-to-heart with you, Jesus, heart-to-heart with the Father for all of eternity. So, Father, I just pray that anyone who's listening, Lord, that has not just received that gift that you've given them, the gift of life, the gift of hope, the gift of eternal blessing of not experiencing the sting of death, of not being afraid of death, God, that they've not received that gift for any reason, God, that right now that you would just draw them into your heart. And if that's you today, all you have to do is say yes. It's not a formality. Just all you got to do is say yes to the Lord. I receive that forgiveness, and I receive life in the place of it. And I just pray right now that you will be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would be baptized. As Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist said that there was one that was coming after him. When he was baptizing with water, he said, there's one that's coming after me that will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. The Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father to empower you by the very presence, by the very Spirit of God, to actually walk out that walk. So I pray that you would be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, with the fiery passion of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the power and the passion of God to walk out this walk and this calling that he's called you to. If you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit right now, just say, yes, I receive just that submersion, that inward dwelling power of the Holy Spirit right now. And I want to do all that God has called me to. I want to be all that he's called me to be. So just cry out right now and just say, yes, I receive. I want all that you have for me, Lord, and I want to just get rid of everything in my life that is not of you so that I can walk out my identity and being who you call me to be in these last days. And Father, I just thank you for all the listeners. Lord, I thank you for those who, you know, just brought me into this show, God, and I thank you for the opportunity to be just a voice, a messenger in the earth for you. Lord, just give you all the glory. It's all yours. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Chuck, tell people a little bit about her ministry, man.
About my ministry?
About her ministry.
Oh, about Tammy's ministry? Yeah, man, Frontline Ministries, dude. You need to go to frontlinefire.org and check Tammy Sutherland out. It's she does a few different things. She talked about the Win Prayer Movement, where on December 20th last year, she tried to get 12 cities to come together and unite for prayer and fasting. She does 24-hour nonstop, consecutive 24 hours, that's right, through 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m., continuous worship called Fire on the Altar, and that's what I really get to take a lot of part in. I love those things. And she hosts a burn meeting in Clemson, South Carolina. I think it's every Thursday, right, Tammy?
Yep, Thursday night.
Every Thursday right now through the summer. You can find all that on the schedule if you're in that area in the upstate and want to come. They just get together in prayer and worship and intercession and seeking after God and birthing generals out of that place, man. I mean, she was ready to go to war as soon as this thing happened. I love it. And, of course, she does travel and she speaks. And the Fire on the Altar is mobile. She's not content staying at home, man. She wants to take the fire to the world. And frontlinefire.org is probably the best way to check everything out that she has. I'm blessed to just be a part of what she's doing. God connected us a little over a year ago, and, man, I'm just honored to run with her and serve her, and if she just wants me to go get her a bottle of water, that works for me because I know she literally named her ministry correct. It is frontline. I mean, she's on the front lines, looking the devil in the face, taking shots at him. I love it.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. That's awesome. And I also like to, we've got to, the Healing Light show actually has two conferences coming up. We've got one coming in Hickory, North Carolina. It's just called the Healing Light Conference. It's the very first one we've done in this area. First one we're actually really done. We did a thing with Art Thomas maybe about a year or two ago, but we're doing our very own conference, and we're going to have co-host Reverend Robert Hager, yours truly, Chuck McDonald. Our guest is going to be Heath Adams. We're going to have Reverend Jacob Phillips and me as a host, Reverend Stan. And we're going to have a praise and worship team there. We've finally got that up. It's going to be some great worship going on there. And we're expecting the Lord to move mightily in this conference. People are going to get healed, transformed, delivered. Just come expecting when you come to this conference. And, you know, the Lord's going to touch you. And this is going to be at Marketplace Church, suit 2940. If you're coming down from Gastonia or Lincolnton, come down on Interstate 321, get off exit 42, go to your left, and go about 2 miles. You'll see Marketplace Church, and then there's like a little dollar store right there. It's called the Mighty Dollar, and once you see that store, it's right there close to the church, so you can't really miss it. If you're coming down from Hickory, just go to your left and just a couple miles there. If you see the dollar store, it's right there close to it. And if you need any more information, just call 828-461-3604. That's my number. I'll tell you a little bit more if you need any more information. But it will be at Marketplace Church, suit 2940. Now, Chuck, tell them about the one we've got coming in South Carolina pretty soon.
Yeah, man, July 31st, which is a Friday night, and August 1st, which is a Saturday, Florence, South Carolina. We actually get to do one night and then a 4 day, so we'll have a lot more time. same host of funny characters. Reverend Stan will be there. I'll be there. I think Chris is going to try to come to this one. And we got Dave and Patty Loggy from Ohio who teach and train on Marketplace Ministry or Power Evangelism. They're going to be part of the cast that's going to be there. And as far as we know right now, Robert and Erica Jordan will be the worship team. That's the same in Hickory. And, you know, we're just going to get together. We've kind of got a schedule, but we don't have to stick to that. There's going to be a lot of prayer rooms. And if you're in this area, it's right off of I-95 in Florence, South Carolina. Very easy to get to. A couple of hotels right there at it. The mall is the next exit up. Tons of places to eat and go mess with the devil out in public if we get to do some outreaches. And just a lot of impartation, teaching on our Marketplace Ministry. Also, if you're sick, if you know people that are sick, if you know people that's lost, get them there, man. We're truly praying and believing that the power of God's going to be there for a solid weekend where we can just, man, unleash the kingdom here in Florence.
Amen, amen. And the one in Hickory is going to be July 11th. It's going to be 5 to 10. And these are like kind of close to each other. That's how they end up getting set up. So you can come to one. And you hear, you know, really get ministered to, get touched by the power of God just by listening. If you're really interested in walking in the power of God and doing street ministry, you know, come to one, South Carolina. We've got enough people there. It's going to really activate you in that. And it ain't really them activating. It's the Lord activating you because you're stepping up and saying, I want to be a foot soldier. So if you really want to be a foot soldier, come to the one in South Carolina, and he will set you up. And we're all there to help teach you. And the one in, like I said, the one in Hickory is really going to be, you know, you're going to be feeling the presence of the Lord because he's been really pouring into us and telling us what is going to be going on. And we're really expecting people to come out there and really get touched by the presence of God because, you know, he paid that price for our healing. He paid for it all through his blood and through his stripes. And, you know, he deserves to get what he paid for. And I really believe that you're going to get what he paid for you. So just come out there, you know, July 11th off of 127 and, you know, receive what he paid for. And I want to thank Tammy again for coming on here this morning and telling that mighty story she had to tell us. Thank you, Tammy.
Amen. Thank you for having me.
It's awesome. I'm sure this show is going to touch a lot of people. And, it's going to touch them for a while. But we'll see everybody Wednesday night at 8 p.m. God bless every one of y'all, and thank y'all for listening.